You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, you wanted to talk about an interesting quote from Jamie Dimon, the boss of J.P. Morgan. He mentioned something about cockroaches and how it might relate to the markets.
Right. There was a couple bank failures, small banks this past week, and because of bad loans, and this was in the auto industry related financing, a company called First Brands and Tricor Holdings. So J.P. Morgan had an investors meeting, earnings conference this past week, and right after those reports, I thought this was sort of the quote of the week, and coming from Jamie Dimon, I think it's something, you know, we need to pay attention to. Anyway, the quote was, when you see one cockroach, there are probably more. So that doesn't sound too good about the outcome of possibly other small banks, whether they're related to auto financing or home lending financing or whatever. I track the Russell 2000 index, which has been underperforming for a while, but a lot of the, even though it did recover recently, many of the components of the Russell 2000 are small banks and small financing companies. So, hopefully this doesn't continue, but that could impact the Russell 2000, which, you know, historically is very interest rate sensitive. You know, a lot of the smaller companies, smaller corporations, you know, need lower rates and higher rates sort of, temper their growth a bit. So, and we'll see how that all plays out. But yeah, that was a standout for me. The thing that I would caution, however, though I very much respect J. Jamie I. Dimon, and he is a leader, obviously, in the financial industry, he tends to come out with a lot of negative comments in recent years. You know, pretty negative comments about the state of the world, the economy, politics, and so forth. And the bottom line is, despite all that, we've still seen, you know, indexes move to new highs. So, again, though I respect him a great deal, and obviously he probably holds one of the most senior positions in the financial industry, heading up J.P. Morgan Chase, which is the largest bank. I think the largest bank in the world, if I'm not mistaken. You got to pay attention. So anyway, I thought that was sort of interesting. But, you know, despite all these negatives, I mean, we did have a couple of nasty days this week in the market, but it seems to still want to recover, and we're closer to new all-time highs than, you know, than historically we've been, you know, for quite, you know, for many years. So the bulls still seem to be in charge. And, you know, we have a lot of earnings reports coming out. Today, by the way, Friday was option expiration day. So we had a little bit of volatility today with the market down early and then recovering later. But something to keep in mind is a lot of the big cap tech earnings are still ahead coming up. You know, for example, Google on the 29th of the month, Meta on the 29th, Microsoft on the 29th, Apple on the 30th, Amazon on the 30th, and then we go all the way into November with NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices. We can talk about those dates later. So, you know, unless they come out with some bearish surprises, you know, the street really holds their breath for these big tech companies. Now, they do surprise the street. Obviously, that would, you know, create a sell-off in high tech, and, you know, my bias is thinking that they'll try to skew these things more positive than negative since they weigh so heavily in the indexes. So with all those big cap earnings reports ahead, I'm a little on the fence here thinking the market's going to collapse or anything, but we got to watch those stories ahead since they could impact the market. So that's sort of the, you know, the short-term run here, minute to minute. The market, as you know, is being affected by what's going on with the China negotiations. Apparently, Treasury Secretary Bessent's supposed to meet with a big Chinese official the next few days, and a lot of this has to do with the, the rare earth situation, the fact that China controls, you know, some credible number, like 80% of the rare earths on the planet, and the fact that they seem to be, you know, stubborn about changing any of that relationship or, you know, guaranteeing access to it. And Trump is threatening first 100%, then 150% tariffs on China. And today he met in the White House, as you probably know, with Zelensky and all that ongoing conflict with Ukraine and whether Tomahawk missiles are going to be sent or not sent. So the market is being affected, you know, almost instantly by some comment coming out of the White House or coming related to the Chinese situation. So on two fronts, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, short-term volatility here. I mean, you're down 300 and 500 points, and then you're up 300 by the close in the Dow. And, you know, it's great for short-term traders if you could catch those little intraday swings, but it's sort of driving investors, you know, crazy here. So it's still a wild time, and, you know, I keep reflecting on the fact we are in October, and, you know, having experienced the October crash back in 1987, you know, you just can never forget something like that, and you just wonder if some super surprise overnight comes out and we experience, you know, a big, big sell-off. It doesn't appear that's the case because we have so many controls in place now with the markets in terms of, you know, freezing trading and stopping something like that from precipitating, but it's definitely a risk. So it's interesting times, as they say. My model overall has been positive for the year, Jim. You know, I've been saying, and I published my annual forecast, and, you know, except for a little indigestion this time of year, it still says we should end up, you know, strong or, you know, net higher for the year. And I have a potential target in the S&P around 7,500. And, you know, it's around 66, 6,700 now. So there's still, you know, I mean, you can't drop and then go up again, but it's still, you know, it's still, I think, a, you know, positive outcome for the year. And we are starting to see a little uptick in the Treasury bond market, which is encouraging because, as you know, the future, I think, of interest rates is more dependent on what the long-term bonds are doing than what the Federal Reserve is doing. And in that regard, you have a couple Fed, not Fed chairman, but Fed members coming out in the last, I guess, in the last day or so. Fed Chairman Waller, for example, and one of the new Fed Med board members, I keep saying Chairman Waller on the board, and Moran are pressing for aggressive easing. And there is a meeting at the end of the month. So more than likely, we'll get that quarter point cut. But is that enough? And is it really all that relevant? Particularly as we already know M2 money supply has been moving up anyway, which is bullish. So just a lot of politics here back and forth with the interest rate story. So as always, interesting times.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovitz right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovitz. Mark, what's happening with gold?
Well, we hit a little bit of a trading top here. I mean, the question is, when was it going to happen? I mean, it's been like a straight line advance here. I mean, it just didn't stop. I mean, we just keep moving up 4,200, 4,300, touching 4,400. And a lot of the predictions of $5,000 gold apparently, you know, weren't that far away or as far away as we thought. But on the charts, we had the little key reversal day today on heavy volume, you know, indicating that at least a little trading top came in. So we're way overdue for a correction. And, you know, there's some gaps under the market, you know, a couple hundred dollars below where we're at. So just on a trading basis, you know, we hit a little stone wall today. And, you know, I'm not saying people should go out and sell all their gold. But, you know, if you're a trader, it was definitely a reversal on the charts today on a one-day basis. So, you know, it's tough to advise people here. I mean, most people have a huge gain in their gold and also silver and also in the ETFs that track the shares. And, you know, nothing goes straight up forever. So, you know, at some point you got to decide where you want to take a profit or where you want to put your mental stops, you know, when indeed we get a more significant correction, which will come, you know. So, but as a report of today's action, it was a one-day bearish event. I'm inclined to think that, you know, the overall trend is still intact. There's nothing that said the trend has changed yet. But, you know, personally, I'm not going out and paying $4,300, $4,400 for gold. I mean, I was buying it at $500 years ago and even as low as $1,400, you know, in the last couple of years. So leave it alone is where I'm at. You know, if you're an investor, you just sit tight. But if you're new to the market, I would not be chasing it here.
Yeah, I saw a video from Vietnam where they had many riots of people trying to get into shops to buy gold, and there just wasn't any.
There's been a shortage for a while, and a lot of it is related to the leasing of gold and the manipulation of the market and the fact that big buyers like China and Russia have been out there. And even, you know, when a store like Costco offers gold bars for sale, which they have in the last couple of years, they're gobbled up immediately. And I try to buy it in the last year or two, and they're just never there. They're sold out immediately. So there seems to be just, you know, a maniacal environment now about gold that you got to buy it, you know. So you know, there is probably a supply issue, but there have been stories about some new big finds in gold as well, and how fast they come to market and whether that impacts the market, time will tell. And we could always speculate, you know, we always talk about the geocosmic and other events going out in outer space, but we do have asteroids out there that have been identified to have huge amounts of gold and precious metals and rare earths. And once the mining of these asteroids begins, which will happen in the years ahead if it hasn't secretly done already, there's going to be an oversupply of these metals down the road. But, you know, we could be talking a generation from now before, you know, all these are, you know, mined and brought back to Earth, but it will happen. And, you know, when you think about it, if that happened sooner rather than later, that would help solve the rare earth issue, which we're disputing with China right now. If we had a asteroid and we were actively mining and bringing these materials back to Earth, that would be an ultimate solution to that problem, you know, not only relying on what's here on the planet. So that's in the future. And how soon that actually happens, time will tell, whether it'll be before or after we land on Mars or in that type of time frame or whatever. And who knows what kind of minerals and, you know, precious alloys are on Mars too. But, you know, it's always a question of going there and getting them back and the expense in doing that. So interesting subject to ponder about. But, you know, at the moment you asked about gold, you know, just as a little trading top came in today, and then though we could go much higher down the road, if I wasn't in it, I'd be patient and look for a little bit more of a pullback.
With talking about gold in space, I could see countries having space wars and there being space pirates hijacking gold shipments between the asteroid and Earth.
Right, because it could be like Star Wars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we could have, pirates out there and all kinds of funny things happening. Yep. We don't know what's really all out there. And, you know, we have a lot of nations that are trying to conquer space. You know, China has already made an imprint on the moon, and they're doing stuff up there. And we may run into conflicts with China, not only here on Earth, but on the lunar surface as well. I believe they were the first nation to actually land and photograph aspects of the dark side of the moon and do some research over there. And if we've done it, they haven't reported it to us. But, you know, you got Israel, the European Union, you know, Russia, you know, China, a lot of countries are sending vehicles into space and trying to do some interesting things. So it's going to be an open field and potential, you know, area of conflict ahead. We talk about wars in space and stuff, you know, that could be as real as something here on Earth, particularly if it involves taking control of a particular, you know, planet or moon. You know, it should be interesting times ahead. But anyway, that's sort of the picture on the metals.
What's happening with cryptocurrencies?
Well, they had a bit of a mini crash this week. Nice sell-off. You had just within the last 10 days to 2 weeks, you had Bitcoin, for example, hitting a new high, which was actually one of my short-term targets, 126,000. And now it's dropped, you know, back to under 110,000 and seems to be in a little panic sell-off situation. So nothing unusual for the market. I mean, at some point there's going to be a big shakeout, just like there is in any market. And we've seen Bitcoin do this over the last 12, 13 years, have huge corrections, shaking out a lot of people, then coming back a couple years later. So at the moment, it's hit a little trading top. I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt, particularly since the Fed's going to be lowering interest rates and the Treasury bond market is rallying and the stock market still seems to be okay into the end of the year. So my gut feeling is this is a sharp correction, and we could still see a recovery here, maybe still to new highs, and have to reevaluate after the end of the year. But if Bitcoin gets, I would say, under 96,000, 97,000, which is lower than where it is now. But if it starts taking that out, I think I'd be a lot more concerned about a much bigger intermediate high having formed than I am at the moment. So I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt that this is just another one of the $25,000 type corrections, which we've seen in the last year or so, and usually followed by a recovery.
Yeah, Bitcoin seems to like to dive around my birthday. I won't give the date, but look up the dates for Beethoven's birthday or Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top's birthday. That'll give you a hint about when Bitcoin might do a good nosedive.
Well, that's one heck of a indicator. If it works, as you know, I'm very much into cycles and time frame. I mean, you know, Bitcoin, you know, basically sitting around, got down as low as 104,000 here in the last 24 hours or so. Now it's around 107. So these dates, whether they're your birthday or cyclical dates that I look at, whether they're things like Turnaround Tuesday or lunar cycles or seasonal patterns, everybody talks about Santa Claus rallies and the turkey shoot around Thanksgiving and, the summer rally and all these cyclical factors. I mean, they do play into the direction of the markets. And as long as people pay attention to them or react to them, there's going to be volatility surrounding them. So maybe off air, you'll give me those dates and I'll trade off of them, Jim.
Anything going on with uranium?
Well, it's been really, really strong. Many of the uranium-related issues have been rallying pretty much tied to the rare earth story. Some of these companies have been, tied to all kinds of resources, not just uranium. But Cameco, which is sort of the big name, hit a new high. I think it was the high for the last several years. 97.79 about 3 days ago, and it's pulled back about 10 points since then. So it sort of sold off here the last couple of days, and still looks like overall, a big uptrend. It doesn't look like the uptrend changed, but, it got a little bit exuberant there and approaching that $100 level, keeping in mind that Cameco was basically a $20, $30 stock in the last year and a half or so. Told me that you had a huge, huge, huge move. I'm more in the camp of, I'm not a long-term investor. I'm more near-term, short-term type stuff. And if you're, triple your money on a stock, in a year, year and a half, I mean, you can say, well, I'm going to hold forever, but you could end up giving back a lot of it too. So, I would have, on our recommended list, it's still one of the stocks that's there, but personally, I would have, sold it, just taken the profit by now after such a huge, huge move. After all, many of these stocks, no matter what the industry, are discounting the future in advance and sometimes do get ahead of themselves. And we've seen this so many times. But at the moment, uranium is still in play. A lot of governmental support for rare earths, for lithium, for uranium, even palladium and platinum have been running recently. Copper came back. you know, still a lot of demand for infrastructure and, you know, building the both technological and physical economies out. So, you know, the trend is still your friend here. And I think we need to really evaluate these more into 2026 and see how we close this year and try to make a determine, you know, whether the trend will continue or change. And a lot behind all this, too, we don't like talking about war and World War III and all this stuff, but, you know, we got the Middle East apparently, hopefully, settling here down a bit, if not settled altogether, but there's still, you know, saber-rattling with Ukraine and Russia, and, you know, I don't know, you know, something really goes awry there that could change the picture dramatically, so... But that's a factor which, you know, we just can't control minute to minute. The market seemed to be discounting it a bit, thinking that if it was, you know, then again, you can argue markets like war, you know, and history sort of bears that out in terms of economic impact, in terms of supporting economies. But the impact of something like that is something really unpredictable at this moment. But the market seems to be trying to discount it as it's closer to new highs than it's been, so maybe it'll all be settled, or maybe the market will shrug it off, and we won't get anything accelerating to a more serious degree with Tomahawk missiles and all the stuff that we keep hearing about, you know, from the White House and so forth. So, I mean, I'm always worried about that, but it's always tough trying to figure out how the markets are going to interpret it. You know, they're going to say, oh, they're going to be more arms sales, and that's good for the defense companies, and those stocks go up, you know, for example. So very interesting times here. I'm not going to try to forecast at all. I'm just going to look at the stocks and the market, see what interest rates are doing, and, you know, go from there. You know, one thing you could argue, though, is that a lot of the geopolitical forces have affected the move in gold. You can say that a lot of the big move in gold started after the October 7th, is over 2 years ago, Gaza invasion. And, you know, there is an argument that says if geopolitical situation calms down, now we have Middle East hopefully calming down, and the same thing happens in with regard to Ukraine and Russia, that might be less reason to own gold here short term. So that could be part and parcel, perhaps, to more of a correction in gold, that the geopolitical risk has been hopefully reduced.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, you know, I'm always watching the geocosmic stuff. We, in terms of solar flares, that's down. It had been downgraded according to the space agency, so there's less reason there. The fear and greed index, which is tracked by CNN, is still trending downwards. In fact, as last night's report, we were in the extreme fear category of 23. You know, this is on a scale of 0 to 100. And you can say, well, gee, you know, we're extremely fearful here. That's bullish. But the history of the fear and greed index is that the trend that it's going is a trend that the market tends to ultimately move into. In other words, if we're moving down and getting more fearful on the index and it's getting a lower and lower number, you can say, well, that's bullish, but it means momentum is still on the bear side. So I'm a little concerned, despite these earnings reports from big companies and so forth that are coming the next couple of weeks, you know, I want to see the fear and greed index reverse, start moving up. And it's still trending down, and that means that there might still be a bear surprise out there, and we hope that's not the case. So, I look at it inversely. I don't look at it, oh, it's oversold, bearish, you should be buying. It's where the momentum is really going, and that's sort of about it. Let's just see how the markets play out. I am encouraged that the bond market has been improving a little bit. And in fact, that gold's pulling back a little bit, I think, is actually constructive. So that's sort of where we're at.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Talk to you next week.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.